Been a long time since we sang that song, isn't it? I'd like you to ask you to turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 100 and have that ready. For when we read, there are a couple prayer requests that I would like to mention. One of them, of course, was Phil. Phil's whole family. And we'll try to let you know through Facebook and by email somehow. If you do have Facebook, keep looking at the Facebook page. We'll even try to put something on the website once we know something as to calling hours and the funeral itself. I'm hoping I'm getting this right. This is the Wiggin family. It's a friend of the family's brother died, and then there was a suicide as a result of that. And so be praying for a friend of their family. And then we do have a praise. Last week we prayed for Wendy Mater, and she had a mass that they found on an x-ray, and she went in, and the small mass on the lung that was seen on two different x-rays is completely gone. And so she has some residual shortness of breath and difficulty swallowing, but she can live with that, and we're expecting God to do a complete healing on that. And I say this only because of wearing a t-shirt for the first time in I don't know how long, and you'll look around, there are some red t-shirts around, but 8 years ago today was my first Sunday here. And so I wanted to wear this because this is mine and Joe's family. And we love you guys, and amazed that the time has gone so fast. All good, right? Yeah, say yes. we start our eighth year today, and we appreciate being here. And I am glad that Thomas, that you were able to come back, and that you came back with him. And look forward to hearing some more of the work there. Let's read Psalm 100. There are two sermons in this. I'm just going to preach a series on the secret of praise, or the secret of thanksgiving. Beginning the first Sunday of December, I'll be preaching on searching for the Christmas spirit. And I'll preach a series of four sermons on searching for the Christmas spirit. But for the next 2 weeks, I want to focus obviously around Thanksgiving. And today I really want to focus us all for Thursday. But not just Thursday, but then leading up to that and what comes after that. Because I think it's tragic that we take one day, we call it Thanksgiving, and even then, sometimes it isn't Thanksgiving. But I want us to focus on the whole meaning of having the secret of a thankful heart, or secret of thanksgiving. So let's read Psalm 100 to start with. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for the truth that's there. Thank you for the promise that's there, that you are good. We don't always see that, especially as we go through tough times. But the scripture is so clear that the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. We thank you that you are good. We thank you that we can sing a song like, "How great you are," that we can sing a song like, "Give thanks with a grateful heart." Forgive us when we don't do that. I want to stop for a moment, and I want to pray for Phil's family. I thank you for the legacy of a godly man that was passed down. And even though Phil will tell us how rebellious he was, that the love of the eternal Father and the love of his Father drew him back. And many of us could say the same thing, that we can look and see you drawing us back. But be with his family in this tough time. Be with the Wiggins friends, family, as they go through this death and then the suicide. And I thank you so much for Wendy and Scott's praise. Thank you that you intervened. And I know that it's easy for a medical doctor to say, oh, there was nothing there. But when two x-rays show it, and now it's gone, I have an explanation for that that they might not like. And I thank you for that. I thank you for your goodness to us. And as we enter into this season of Thanksgiving, and as we take a break from Halloween and we look forward to Christmas future, help us to stop for just a moment and be grateful and thankful for everything you've given to us. As we talk about this psalm today, just open it up to us and help us to see the living truth that's there. And then, Lord, I pray that you will help me to step aside and that we will see Jesus and Jesus only. For it's in his name I pray. Amen. Charles A. Tinley was a poverty-stricken black pastor of a tiny, struggling church in Cape May, New Jersey, when a blizzard blew in, paralyzing the town. That cold, miserable night, his youngest child also died. The next morning, all that was in the house to eat was a bunch of stale, a little bit of stale bread. But Charles Tinley told his wife, set the table like we always do. And he gathered his wife and his children around him, and he thanked God for his salvation. He thanked God for his health, and he thanked God for his wife and his children. They were all kind of in wonder that, you know, as grief-stricken as he was and as little as they had, that he would thank God for the things that are intangible. He finished his prayer with an amen, and suddenly there was a knock on the door. And when they opened the door, there was a brother in the Lord, his arms full of groceries, saying, I meant to get here sooner, but the storm held me up. Here are your groceries as a gift. Charles Tinley had passed the test. But let's take a quick poll here. How many of you do you think would have done the same thing Charles Tinley did when he had nothing and he would have thanked God? How many of you think you would have thanked God for what little you had? Honestly, my arm goes down. Especially for certain seasons of my life when grumbling and complaining seemed to be the norm. And I think most of us go through that where, you know, we like to grumble, we like to complain, we like to see things with a glass half empty. We don't want to see how God has so richly provided for us and blessed us beyond measure. And I am one of them. As my faith has grown, I have understood a little bit more that I shouldn't be so grumbly and so complainy. And I do okay sometimes, but there are times that I revert back to my old ways and I grumble some more and I complain some more and I wish for more. But I don't stand alone, do I? What I want to do today is I want to take a simple look at Psalm 100. I want to look and see how the psalmist here gives us the secret of how we can have thankful praise. So take your Bibles, if you would, please. Leave them open there because we'll be spending the rest of our time here and we'll also go to some others. But first of all, we want to look at knowing the source or the secret. The secret of thankful praise is, first of all, knowing the source of our praise. Knowing the source. Of all the psalms, and there are 150 of them, this one psalm, Psalm 100, has been given the title of the psalm for giving thanks. Now, it's not the only one in the book of Psalms that talks about giving thanks. For example, Psalm 118, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Now, you read the rest of Psalm 118, and he closes out that psalm with the same verse. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. So the whole idea of thanksgiving flows through the book of Psalms. But this one psalm has been given the title of the Psalm for Giving Thanks because it just kind of focuses us on thanksgiving. Now, how does it do that? First of all, it gives us four ways to give thanks. He first of all tells us that we can shout. Look at verse 1. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Now, I think most of us, it would seem strange if all of a sudden someone started shouting. We would go, whoa. We'd be startled, you know. Some people might wake up, you know. Some might jump out of their chair. But we would be rather startled about that. But the Hebrew word for joyful noise literally means a glad shout like a subject would do in the presence of a king. When the king would come in, they would go, he's here, Hosanna, or there's the king. And they would raise their voices in recognition of the king. That's what the word literally means. He says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. The emphasis is on making a joyful noise. Then he says, we can shout. He also says, we can serve. He says, serve the Lord with gladness in verse 2. We serve the Lord by our worship. Worship, though, please understand this, and you've heard me say this before, and if you haven't, hear this again. Worship is not Sunday morning. Worship is 24/7, 365. It's a lifestyle that we live. It's something that we do all the time. But we worship when we feed the hungry. We worship when we welcome strangers. We worship when we clothe people. We worship when we visit someone in prison. Jesus said, when you do to the least of these, my brothers, what? You do it to me. So we serve, we worship when we serve. The third way to give thanks, he says, is we can come. He says, come into his presence with singing. Now, this generally means a formal worship. So he has taken worship 24/7, wherever we go, whatever we do, we're to worship God by doing these things. And then he brings us into a formal worship, and he says, come into his presence with singing. I think this makes a pretty good point for gathering together for worship. And then finally, he says, we can know. Know that the Lord, he is God. In Acts chapter 17, there's an interesting story with the Apostle Paul. He's making his way. He's in Athens. He's making his way to the top of Mars Hill. As he moves along the road, he sees different altars to different gods. And there is one listed that says, to the unknown God. And Paul gets up to the top of Mars Hill and he begins to speak and he says, I was coming here, I saw various gods, and I saw one to the unknown God. Let me tell you about him. See, God has given his word and God has given himself so that we might know him. He's given himself to make himself known. So how do we do that? Well, there are three ways. Number one, we can know him as creator. He says it is he who made us and we are his. I honestly don't know how someone who does not believe in God can explain creation. They can try all their willy-nilly ways. And they can try all their ways to describe how you are here. But I prefer to go back to the one who created us all, who made everything. I prefer to go back to Genesis 1 and say, that's the truth. You know, it's interesting. As I was studying this probably a month and a half ago, I was reading, I've been reading in the prophets to finish out the year, and I was reading Amos, the book of Amos, and I read that day, just as I came to this section, Amos chapter 4, verse 13. Look at this. For behold, he who forms the mountains and creates the wind and declares to man what is his thought, who makes the morning darkness and treads on the heights of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. He is the creator. He has made the mountains. He has made the valleys. He has made the sun. He has made the moon. He has made the stars. He's taken the morning and made it. Makes the morning darkness and treads on the heights. He is God. He is the creator. The second way we can know him is we can know God as our redeemer. Verse 3. Also, it says, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. The phrasing of that in the Hebrew is the idea that he's our redeemer. I'd like you to look at a scripture with me. It's John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Now, if you're not familiar with the Bible, go to the New Testament, find Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 10. Verses 11 and 12, and then 14 through 16. This is Jesus' message or sermon on the Good Shepherd. Here's what he says. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. I, verse 14, am the Good Shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd. We are his sheep. Now that leads me to the very next one. We can know that we are his. Again, those words in verse 3, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We belong to him. I want to do something here, and I need your help. I want you to say this phrase back to me, I am his. Say it back to me, I am his. Okay, I'm going to give you a statement. When I'm done with that statement, I want you to repeat that phrase, I am his. Okay, say it again. Good, you got it. All right? I belong to him. Sickness may come. I may lose my job. Death may come. See it? Through it all, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, God says, I will never, what? Leave you or forsake you. No matter what happens, he will never leave us or forsake us. Now, this is not in your notes. I'd like you to turn to Romans chapter 8, and we're going to do the same exercise, Romans chapter 8. So you go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Romans chapter 8. This is not in your notes, as I said, and I don't even know what page number it's on. My Bible has different page numbers than yours does. But I want to start with verse 31. And when I stop, I want your response, okay? What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Down to verse 36. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we say, I am His. I am His. God wants us to know that we are His. Put a stamp on that one, put a nail through that one, and pound it through because it's there. So the first way or first secret of thankful praise or a thankful heart is to know the source. The second way is to know the song. And you're going to say, wait, whoa, a second here. I don't sing. But you need to know the song. Now, as a recap, this chapter actually is three parts. We've done two of them already. The first part is he gives us four ways to give thanks. The second part, as you will see, he tells us what we can know. The third one is an invitation to thank God. Verse 4. He changes gears. He's gone from more of a personal thing to more of a corporate thing. He says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. To make worship meaningful, folks, not successful, but meaningful, we need to sing a song. There's two kinds of songs we need to sing. First of all, we need to sing the song of joy. We already read verse 1, make a joyful noise to the Lord. And he tells us to enter his courts with thanksgiving, and his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. In Acts chapter 16, there's a really cool story there about Paul and Silas. They're in jail. They've been thrown there. They've been beaten, thrown in jail. And it, when we think of jail, you know, I want you to think of dungeon. Dingy. Wet. Dungeon. And they weren't walking around. They were in stocks. You know, like the old pictures you used to see of the pilgrims and the Salem Witch Diaries. You know, they were in stocks. And they were singing. Somehow, I don't think they were singing 100 bottles of beer on the wall, 100 bottles of beer. And I don't think they were singing the Captain Morgan song. But they were singing praise. They were in the ugliest situation possible at the time, and their voices were being lifted in praise. That's exactly what he's telling us we need to be. Listen to this quote by Franz Joseph Haydn. When I think of God, my heart is so full of joy that the notes leap and dance as they leave my pen. And since God has given me a cheerful heart, I serve him with a cheerful spirit. Haydn understood the principle of singing a song with joy. Now, I didn't say happiness, I said joy. Verse 1, it literally means, if you were going to translate, it would literally say, shout to the Lord. Huh, I wonder where that song came from. It literally means shout to the Lord. And the word there means to raise a shout, like a blast of a trumpet. So he tells us, blast it to God. Bless his name. But you do it with joy. And there's a second part of it. We need to sing a song of praise. You enter his courts with praise, give thanks to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever and his faithfulness to all generations. It may sound repetition, but hang in there with me if you would, just for a moment. Psalm chapter 12, verses 18 and 19. I'm sorry, 72, Psalm 72, all right. Psalm 72, verses 18 and 19. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. You know, most of us find it difficult, I think, to praise God in all things. Do you find it difficult to praise him in all things? I do. When things are going bad, the hardest thing to do is to say, thank you. But he tells us to praise him. And I think the reason it's so hard is because we tend to focus on ourselves. Now, I want you to kind of just relax for a minute. I want to have a little bit of fun. These are not in your notes, but I asked Joe to put five names up on the board, up on the screen for you. I want you to look at them. Put them up there if you would, hon. What's that? I didn't give them to you, did I? Uh-oh. Okay, so much for that one. I told her last night I was going to give them to her, and then I forgot. My fault. Okay, here are the five names. Jack Tinker and Partners. Doyle Dane Burbach. BBDO. Foot Cone and Belding. J. Walter Thompson. Household names to you? Does anybody know who those people are? They're ad agencies. Now, I'm going to make a point here, so hang in there with me, all right? I'm going to give you their line. You tell me what the product is. Jack Tinker and Partners came up with Plop Flop Fizz Fizz. Oh, okay. Oh, that was a tough one. You didn't even let me finish. Doyle Dane Burbach came up with the phrase, we try harder. Avis, there you go. Well, that's before some of your times, I know. BBDO came up with, good. That's Campbell's soup. Foot, Cone, and Belding came up with, when you care enough to send the very best, Hallmark. And finally, J. Walter Thompson, you won't be singing his name, but you will hum his jingle. Snap, crackle, pop. Now, why do I say all that? You've never heard the names of the ad agency. You know why? Their responsibility, their purpose is not to bring attention to themselves. If you know the ad agency, but you don't know the product, they have failed. The whole purpose of that ad agency is to draw attention to the product and the company, not to themselves. Do you see the connection? My whole purpose, your whole purpose, is not to draw attention to ourselves, but to whom? To Jesus. And if I am reflecting him, and I am drawing attention to him, then I have succeeded in doing what God wants me to do, because you have drawn attention away from yourself and onto him. That's what praise does. Praise takes the attention away from us and takes it where it belongs. It belongs at the foot of Jesus, or at the feet of Jesus. Not at mine, not at yours. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is what? Good. And his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. I read a story. It came from a book, and so I'm trusting that the book and the story is true. It's about a man whose journey started downhill when his wife left him. He then became bitter toward every person, every event, and especially toward God. He began to live his life in bitterness and ingratitude. One morning he walked into this diner, and the diner was like a lot of other diners. You know, they didn't know each other, so most people sat there at their table going through the motions of eating. There was no conversation, there was no laughter, when suddenly from a booth, a little girl looked at her mommy and said, "Mommy, can we pray here?" And the waitress said, "Of course you can." And she turned around and said, "This little girl is going to say a prayer for us right now, so let's pray." And people began to drop their forks, their spoons, and bow their heads. And the little girl simply said, "God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for this food. Amen." It was like a light turned on in the diner. Everybody started chattering. The waitress turned around and says, "Well, I think we ought to start this diner every day with prayer, don't you?" And the man who the story is about, who had been sitting at the little counter, wallowing in his misery, suddenly realized that if he was going to experience joy, it was going to have to be a choice that he was going to have to make. He was going to have to stop wallowing, stop grumbling, stop complaining, and start living his life by choosing joy. You and I get to choose joy. We get to choose every day when we wake up what kind of day we're going to have. And we could get up on the wrong side of the bed or the right side of the bed. A lot of that is mostly our attitude. No, 99% of that is our attitude as to how we're going to face our day. And we get to choose. Will I choose misery or will I choose joy and gratitude? We're coming into the season of Thanksgiving. This should be, for lack of a better word, this should be the kicking off point for you to be grateful, for you to be thankful for everything that you have. All you need to do is remember the pictures we saw and realize how blessed we are. And we grumble and we complain because we missed a meal. God has been so good to us. Bless the Lord, for God has been good. Let's pray. And Father, you have been tremendously good to us. Forgive us when we are ungrateful. Forgive us when we focus so much on ourselves that we become grumblers and complainers, and people almost want to avoid us because they're so tired of hearing our negativity. You have blessed us beyond measure. We have roofs over our heads. We have clothes on our body. We have food in our stomach. And we live in a free country. We worship where we don't have to worry about someone barging down our doors and taking our lives. Forgive us when we forget. Help us to be grateful, to use this time during this season, to use it as a springboard to a life filled with joy and a life filled with gratitude, and make that choice to do so. If there's somebody here today who needs to know about Jesus and the joy that he gives and the joy that he can bring, I pray that today they might come. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand as we sing this song. If you have a decision to make, I invite you to come.